Gang, when you really get the picture of God and His power and His authority and who He is, you can't help but praise Him and worship Him and honor Him and adore Him and know that He inhabits, man, that He is enthroned or inhabits the praises of His people, man. Powerful, man. Welcome to Believers Chapel. Pumped that you are with us today. Gorgeous day, man. We just thank God for the women's ministry. They are off on their retreats. I think 50, 60, some women went and just heard from my mom. It's been an amazing, amazing weekend on their way back today, and very thankful for safe travels as they return. And just a great ministry that is. My mom, Becky Curcio, do a great job with that ministry. And there's so many women who are impacted and affected by that. And we're just so blessed that they've gone, had a great weekend, and they are on their return. Man, welcome to BC. If you're new to Believers Chapel, you're just checking us out, man. You're checking out a church in the region. Man, we are honored that you're here, and we're blessed that you're here. And we're just real simple, man. We believe God Almighty deserves to be worshiped, and the Word of God is the absolute truth, and you and I ought to live it out. That's simple, man. That's who we are. And we should love one another. And the big picture of all of it is we ought to love one another. And just what a great community God has allowed us to have in His grace and His mercy here at BC. So we're pumped that you're with us. Thank you so much for truly being a part of our services today. Man, now this is our time, man. It's our time to come to a place to hear His word, believing that it is alive and powerful, that it has the ability to rearrange and change our lives. Man, I believe today as we just continue in a series called Through the Eyes of Love, it's not really a series so much, but it's just me just going through scripture, some of my favorite parts of scripture, these miracles that Jesus has done. And last week was Through the Eyes of Love, forgiveness, and how we saw Jesus forgiving the woman who was just pouring out her spirit, pouring out her soul right before the Lord at His feet, the sinning woman, the prostitute, the immoral woman, just crying out to Christ because she heard, man, she heard. Someone told her, she learned that Jesus can forgive. How powerful that was. And this week is Jesus can heal. And we do believe that God Almighty, all-powerful, can heal. You read through scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see where Jesus heals and you see where Jesus does work after work after work. Even John, this is so amazing. Even John tells us in John 21, 25, the very last verse of John, the gospel, John tells us that, listen, if we were going to write down all that Jesus did, we wouldn't have enough books to contain it. Gang, we have just a smidge of a 3-year ministry of what Jesus did, just a touch. So what we read and what we study is given by God through His Spirit to man to write, but it's just a touch of all of things that Jesus has done. Could you imagine John, who walked with Jesus 3 years, saw everything that he did to say us in the very last sentence of his book, if I was going to record everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. Could you imagine what these guys saw? I mean, we just get a touch of what he did. He was a miracle worker. He healed. He raised the dead. He spoke to the storms and just calmed us. This is who he was, and this is what he did. And you can imagine to a point of Jesus and John coming to a place to say, if I was to write down everything that I saw, can't write enough books. The world can't contain it. That's amazing to me. So let's ask God to bless our time. As we hear, we can turn to two places with me, please, as we pray. Mark 5, John 9. Mark 5 and John 9. I don't know if we're going to get to John 9. We didn't in the first service, but you never know. Every service is different. Father, we thank you for just your presence in this place. We thank you for your word. It is powerful. God, we thank you for a great work done right here today, right here. As we come into your presence, God, we know that you are present with us. And Father, we thank you for that. God, I ask that you would speak directly to us right here, right now. God, you can deliver a message. You can deliver a word right into our hearts. Father, I ask that by your Spirit, you would just begin to pinpoint this message to every one of our hearts. God, speak to us today. We're here. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open. Our hearts are ready to respond to you today. Today, right now. Right now, speak to us. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. Make it personal today. Make this personal today. God, speak to me today, right here, right now. Father, we do ask for Thursday that the Pittsburgh Steelers would have a great draft. Amen. Amen. It's a big day. I mean, I'm asking God that the Steeler organization have a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, that they would really work in prophetic utterance and understand Hall of Famers. Just pick Hall of Famers, man. That's it. Oh, we're bringing home the trophy. Listen, bald guy, we're bringing home the trophy. again. You guys can't really say that. We can say again and again and again and again. Anyways, come on. Listen, Dallas. Does Dallas still have a team? I didn't think they were in the NFL anymore. I thought they kicked him out.
Hey, be afraid.
Romo can't even run, man. Come on. Jeez. Oh, Tony. One day, Tony, you'll flip. You'll come over to Black and Gold. Anyways, come on. Can I preach, Tony? Can I preach? Come on. Mark 5. This is good stuff. And it's amazing when you try to put yourself into the disciples' shoes and what they have seen. Could you imagine this? I mean, the disciples must have just absolutely seen the most amazing, incredible works of Christ. Well, here we see a picture that Jesus did a lot of work on the Sea of Galilee going back and forth. And we see in Mark 4 that here Jesus tells the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. And this is an amazing story in Mark 4 where the storm hits and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And the storm is just a fierce gale of wind. The storm is rocking back and forth. The Bible says it begins to fill up with water. Somebody goes down and wakes up Jesus. Jesus, we're all going to perish. Don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus just simply stands up and speaks to the wind, to the waves, to the storm. It says, hush, be still. Whoosh. The Bible says that the disciples were in shock. Like, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Like, who are we sailing with? Who are we running with? And then they get off the boat. And immediately the Bible says, as soon as they get off on the shore, there is this crazy man, this demon-possessed man who rushes Jesus. I mean, you imagine they just saw something so miraculous where they're just in awe and they're just stunned and they're froze going, he just spoke. Did you see? He just spoke to the wind and the rain and the storm and the sea became like glass. And now this guy, they get to the shore and this guy charges Jesus. This guy who was demon possessed, this guy who's charging Jesus, and then this guy charging Jesus, the demon begins to speak and says, what business do you have with me, Son of the living God? You imagine the disciples going, whoa, this guy is bleeding. The Bible says he would take rocks and cut his skin. He had chains connected to him because man would try to handcuff and chain him and he would just be overpowered and he would break all the chains. So I can imagine this guy has these links to his hands and feet that are all broken. He's all bloody. The Bible says that he came from the tombs, like the graveyard. This guy is a freak. And I'm telling the disciples are going, oh, let's get back in the boat, man. Let's go back to the storm crazy thing instead of this guy. And Jesus speaks to the unclean spirit, speaks to the demons. The demons come out. Jesus puts them. They say, hey, don't take us out of the country. And they're asking Jesus permission. The disciples are beginning to really figure out Jesus' authority and his power, where even the demons know him. The demons come, and Jesus has great authority over them. And Jesus puts them into a whole herd of pigs, and they jump over a cliff. And just, I mean, this is a real story. Like, what would you do if you saw this? You'd be like, oh. And then Jesus, let's get back in the boat. So they get back in the boat and they go to the other side again. And here we are in Mark chapter 5. Verse 21 says this. And Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side and a large crowd gathered around him. So he stayed by the seashore. Could you imagine again that his reputation was beginning to just expand and expand and expand and expand, where people began to realize he can heal and he can deliver and he can speak to the wind and they obey him. He has such authority like we have never, ever seen. We have never known a man like this. His reputation and his fame began to grow. And you can imagine the disciples are in this boat. They just freaked out by a storm, got to a storm, freaked out by this demon-possessed man. They get back in the boat. They begin to sail. And then all of a sudden, they're coming up to the shore and they just see a sea full of people waiting for Jesus. And I could imagine that Peter, knowing Peter spouts off all the time, probably elbowed John and said, hey, John, look at all the people. They're waiting for me. You know, John be like, dude, they're not waiting for you, Peter. Yeah, but Jesus called me the rock. He also called you Satan, Peter. They're not waiting for you, okay? They're waiting for Jesus. You haven't stilled the sun. You haven't stilled the wind. You haven't healed the sick. Not yet, Peter. Just they're waiting for, you're not the center of attention. It's Jesus. So they get to the shore and Jesus gets out of the boat. And I mean, imagine just truly, really watching these disciples going, I mean, what possibly could happen next? What possibly could happen? All of these people are looking and waiting for Jesus. Verse 21, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, so he stayed by the seashore. Verse 22, one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she will get well and live. Here you've got this official, the synagogue official. He comes, he knows, somehow he heard about Jesus. Somewhere he understood, if Jesus can just lay his hands on my daughter. The Bible tells us that she's 12 years old. The Bible tells us that it's his only daughter. And the Bible says that he rushed to Jesus. I can imagine him going through the crowd, having to get to Jesus, to have this conversation with Jesus. Jesus, she's at the point of death. And he falls on his face and begins to beg Jesus. Listen, this is time sensitive. She's at her last breath. She's taking her last. We need to go. We need to go right now. If you would just lay your hands. I've heard about you laying your hands on. I've heard about you healing the sick. I've heard about you raising the dead. I know that this is what you can do, but it's so time sensitive. If you could just come now. We've got to leave now. Listen, I know these people need you, but she needs you right now. She's my only daughter. You know, imagine what this father is crying out to the one who can heal his only daughter. She's 12. If you come, she can be made well and she'll live. If you don't come, she's going to die. And we don't have a lot of time. She's at the point of death now, right now. She's taking her last. We got to go. Jesus, please. He's imploring. He's begging. Please, please. This is time. Please, we've got to go right now. We've got to go. Come on. And I love this. Here it is right here. And Jesus went off with him. Could you imagine a release? Like finally, yes, he's coming, he's coming. And with a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of the physician, had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will be made well. I love this. Here you've got this synagogue official, man. He's pushing Jesus. This is time sensitive. We've got to go. We've got to go. We've got to go. And then all of a sudden, there's this woman who shows up and she's pressing through the crowd. And all she wants to do is get to Jesus. And the Bible says this, if she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will get made well. Verse 29. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? So here you've got this synagogue official. Again, he's pressing. Man, my poor daughter, Jesus is coming. This is great. All he's got to do is lay hands on her. She's going to be made well. She's going to be, and he's all pumped now. He's excited. Man, I begged. He's coming. She's going to be healed. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. Imagine this official is like, why are you stopping, man? Every minute counts. She's at the point of death, like she's dying. Why are you stopping? And Jesus turns around. Could you imagine this whole crowd's following Jesus? Stopping. They're pressing in on him, man. They're everywhere. And Jesus stops and he turns around. He said, who touched me? And then the Bible says this, the disciples, but one account in the gospel says it was Peter who said this. Verse 31. And Jesus' disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? Jesus, come on, everybody's touching you. What do you mean? Like you are most famous, man. You got people all around just grabbing at you and touching on you and wanting to lay hands on you and wanting you to lay hands on them, and there's people everywhere. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But he says this is amazing. And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. Now I want you to understand something here, folks. When Jesus stops, he turns around and he asks a question. Who touched me? When you believe that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and you understand that Jesus has all the characteristics of God, you come to a place to believe when Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. When God asked Peter, or when God in the garden asked Adam, "Adam, where are you?" God wasn't lost. He was making a point to Adam, say, "Adam, you need to open your eyes that you're the one lost." When Jesus stopped the crowd and he turns around to find a woman and says, "Who touched me?" That wasn't for Jesus to understand. Jesus knew who touched him. When you get this, it was an opportunity for the woman to come forward to get so much more than just healing. When you understand, the Bible says, for 12 years she suffered. And when you understand a flow of blood, you have to understand that this meant that she was considered unclean. When a female was going through her cycle, she was considered unclean for a period of 7 days. She could not be around any person. She was isolated. She couldn't go out and socialize. She could not go out into the public. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't go to church. She couldn't go to the grocery store. She could go nowhere. For 7 days, she was isolated from everybody because she was considered to be unclean. And you could imagine for 12 years, the blood never stopped flowing. For 12 years, this poor woman was considered unclean. You are diseased. Something is wrong with you. You continue to flow blood. You are not welcome here. You're not welcome in the social life. You're not welcome in public. You're not welcome in the grocery store. And to be pegged as unclean. That every single person she touched would then become unclean and would have to go into isolation for 7 days. And she would be violating a law that actually said it could lead to stoning. Now, there's two things we don't know about her. We don't know her name, and we don't know her age. I mean, maybe she was older, and maybe she was married, and maybe she had kids. Maybe this happened after she had kids. Could you imagine that? After she gives birth to a most amazing gift who she loves and cares for, this blood never stops flowing, and therefore she can never hold this child for 12 years. She can't even touch her husband. She can't go in public. Could you imagine what that would do to a mom? For 12 years, isolated from your children, maybe this amazing gift that God's given, isolated from your husband, isolated from your friends, no relationships because you're now pegged as a disease. Or what if she was a teenager, and she just, a young teenager, and she just started her cycle, and it never stopped? Could you imagine that pressure as a 12, 13-year-old girl for 12 years into her 20s, and in that age, as a teenager, never to know friends, being pegged as unclean, being pegged as the one with the hemorrhage, being pegged as the one who can't communicate, you can't come around, you can't socialize, you're no longer welcome in our circle. Could you imagine that from a young teenager into the mid-20s? Here the Bible says that she heard. And she pressed through the crowd. Knowing the crowd, man, Jesus is on mission, folks. He's on a mission. Time-sensitive mission. To get to this synagogue official's house. To save her daughter, his daughter, who's deadly sick. And she thought to herself, the Bible says when she thought to herself, that means that she repeated it over and over. And if I can just touch his garment, if I can just come up from behind him, no one will even know. I'm going to press through the crowd. If I could just come up from behind him and just touch his garment, then I know that I will be made well. And I can imagine after she touches his garment, she kind of just loses herself in the crowd. She knows that the blood has stopped. She knows the flow has stopped. She realizes the hemorrhage has been healed. She understands, yes, 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 no longer unclean. I know I can go back to a place to live. And then you imagine when she sees that Jesus stops. And he turns around. "Who touched me?" I mean, what was her heart doing at that point? I mean, what happened to her heartbeat right then? Did it increase like mad, like, whoa? The Bible says this. This is amazing. Verse 32. "And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I love this. Fearing and trembling. How many times do you see somebody who comes before the Lord fearing and trembling? And then another account in this in the Gospels, Jesus, one of the first words he says is, take courage. When you see this woman, man, she has been found out. She comes before Jesus and she spills the beans. I have had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years and I have been unclean. Could you imagine the people in that crowd who know that she touched me? I know that she brushed past me. What is she doing here? Why is she in this crowd? She should have never been here to begin with. Why is she even here? I know that she touched. Now I'm unclean. And I love this with Jesus, who is perfectly clean. When she touches him, now anywhere is he concerned about becoming unclean, but he who is perfectly clean, touched by the unclean, then cleanses the unclean to be clean. Amazing. Amazing. And she knew, if I can just get there, if I can just touch his garments, I will live again. Because I don't care what age you are, isolation, being pegged as having a disease that is contagious, and you look at it and say you are unclean and you are no longer welcome. I don't care what stage of life that is. Rejection's always, always damaging. Always. She said, if I can just get there, man, I know that I could be made well. I know that I could be made well. You come to a place, Jesus stops, turns around. She comes and falls down before Jesus and she tells him the whole truth. It was me. I touched you. I touched many just trying to get to you. I know I've broken the law. Maybe she's come before him begging for mercy, please. Please don't put me in isolation. Please, please don't go to the extreme and stone me. I know that I've been healed. I know that I'm dried up. I can go to the doctors. I can get checked out. I know that I've been clean. I know that you healed me. Maybe she's coming with fear and trembling in an absolute sense of concern. Like, what's he going to do? And then here's Jesus. Incredible. You can imagine the disciples are just watching this thing unfold. And how is it that they would tell a story? Like, man, we were en route and then all of a sudden this woman showed up and Jesus just stopped and asked a crazy question. Like, someone touched me, and Peter jacked off again and said, everybody touched you. What's wrong with you? He just spouted off and said all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden Jesus calls her out and she comes forward, falls down. She's all fear and trembling and all concern. And then Jesus said this, and I can imagine them telling the story. You should have been there. You should have seen this. Jesus looked at her through eyes of love. You could imagine where she is in this. And Jesus speaks these words. And he says to her, daughter. I can imagine her fear and her trembling came to a sense of rest at that point, where we see, from what I can tell, this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus uses this word as daughter. For her, who's been so broken, who's been so alone, who's been so pegged as diseased. And then there's Jesus. And she's on her face and she's kneeling before Jesus, and he says, daughter. And another gospel says, take courage. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith has made you well. Verse 28, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get made well. Gang, this is what I believe, that through the eyes of love, I believe that God is a healer, that God through Christ, we see over and over and over and over and over and over again through the scriptures that Jesus healed, Jesus healed, Jesus healed, Jesus healed. Then we come to a place for this woman who is broken and hurting and has absolutely no out. The Bible says she spent every dime that she's had. She came to a place to see doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. Could you imagine that violation in itself? A different doctor, examination after examination after examination, pouring all the money that she had. The Bible says she just continued to get worse. The Bible says that she heard. She heard about Jesus. Somebody told her, Jesus can heal. If you just can get to Jesus, he can heal. If you can just somehow, you're going to have to risk it all. You're going to have to break the law. You're going to have to press through. People are going to be pointing. People aren't going to be pleased that you now contaminated the whole crowd. You're going to have to do what you're going to have to do, but Jesus can heal. Someone told her, if you can just get to Jesus, he can heal. The Bible tells us the continuation of the story that Jesus is this whole thing has taken place. He's taken his time with her to encourage her, to love her, to build her, to speak life to her, to let her know your faith has made you well. Of your affliction, you are healed. He declared it to the whole crowd. She is now clean. And in the meantime, one of the official's servants came and says, your daughter has died. No longer do we need of him to come. You can imagine the official going, come on! Did we have to take a pause? If we would have been there, if we could have got there? And Jesus says something so amazing. He says, no, she's only sleeping. And they get to the house, and there's this large crowd at the house. This crowd just continues to follow him. And here at the house, there's a scene like it would be at any home, any one of our homes, a scene of our only 12-year-old daughter who would die of some disease. There was crying, and there was weeping, and there was lamenting, and it was just a scene of absolute disaster and brokenness as it would be at any one of our homes. And they're declaring that she is dead, and Jesus comes up and says, no, she's only asleep. And that Bible says the most crazy thing, that they all began to laugh at him. How do you go from a scene of absolute brokenness to a place of laughing at him? And then Jesus says this, no. Peter, James, and John, mom and dad, you're with me. Everyone else, you stay out. In other words, if you're going to laugh, you're not welcome. You're not going to say, I could imagine his disciples coming to a point going, oh, what's about to happen? Like, we're going in. I imagine Peter, James, and John going, this is great. He's taking us in to this room. And here, this is such an incredible scene where Jesus comes into the room. And here she is dead. She has taken her last breath. And Jesus speaks to the girl. He says, young girl, I say to you, arise. You can imagine this girl sits up. I mean, imagine Peter, James, and John at this point seeing all of these things continue to unfold, knowing that he has authority over the weather. He has authority over the waves and the storm and the wind. He has authority over all sickness. He has authority over demonic activity and calling demons out. And then you come to a place where they realize, yes, man, she is dead. She has breathed her last. And Jesus just simply says, arise. And all of a sudden she sits up. And Jesus says, you need to get her something to eat. Could you imagine what this looks like for the disciples? To come to a place to realize, who is this? Who is this? And the most amazing thing is he's telling them in this side room, you've got Peter, James, and John. Could you imagine being mom and dad, the parents of this little girl? Here, he's at the scene. He's rushing Jesus. Jesus agrees to heal. He's all pumped about it. The whole thing stops. Jesus turns around, heals another woman. Now she is clean. And Jesus continues saying, no worries. She's only sleeping. Jairus, I got this. Jairus, it's going to be okay. And then you come to a place. Jairus looks at her daughter who is dead. He says, man, I know that she isn't breathing. All of a sudden, Jesus says, arise. And his daughter sits up. Somehow, Jairus knew, if I can just get to Jesus, If I can just get to Jesus, I know that He can heal. I know that He can heal. If I just get there, I know that He can heal. And then all of a sudden, I mean, what a wave for a parent, for a mom and a dad. Yes, He's agreed. Oh, we're stopping. Okay, now she's dead, but we're still going. And you walk in the room and see her dead. This is a true story. It's amazing. Real people like you and I. Real parents like you and I. Real disciples of Jesus like you and I. And walk in and see that she has truly breathed her last. And then I have Jesus speak a sentence and your daughter sit up. And Jesus says, feed her, she's hungry. And then they walk out of the room like, what if maybe she had a roll in her hand and everyone else went from crying to laughing, making fun of Jesus, like, dude, she's dead, you were late, too bad. And then she come walking out like, what were they thinking at the time, right? Like, hello? Can I ask you this, folks? Number one is this. Is what is your picture of the one true living God, the almighty, all-powerful, living creator of the universe? Do you believe that He is all-powerful? Do you believe that God can do whatever God pleases to do? Do you believe that He absolutely has the ability to heal? Do you believe that in Jesus Christ He has the ability to forgive sins? Do you believe, now here's the big one, do you believe that it's up to us, our responsibility, to tell people about Jesus? That it's our responsibility to come to a place to believe. You got to turn to, I'm not going to get to John 9, but you can turn to Matthew, please. Matthew 28, because I want you to see this. You take your fingers out of John 9 and go to the beginning. It's Matthew 28, because I want you to see some instruction that Jesus gives us. He says this, Matthew 28, verse 17, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in the heavens and on the earth. And He tells this to His disciples, which is very clear to you and I. He says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love this. Look at His instruction. He tells the disciples, He's telling the church, He's telling me and you, go therefore make disciples of all nations. Go tell them about me. The only way that we can be a disciple of Jesus is if we know about Jesus. He says, go make disciples, followers. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And Lois, I love this. I am with you always. I am with you always. Everywhere you go, I go. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, even to the ends of the age. And that's a promise from Jesus to you and I, that He can come to a place to say, Sean, no matter where you're at, Sean, you making disciples, Sean, you speaking for me, Sean, everywhere you go, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, everywhere you go, I'm with you. And Sean, be of good cheer, take courage. I think when you understand what it is, when He is speaking to this woman at His feet, who she's already been healed, He comes to a place to say, even in your fear and your trembling, take courage, don't be afraid. How much is it for you and me? When we come to a place to know this, that Jesus has given us a commandment to go and make disciples. Jesus has given us a commandment to go and make followers. Jesus has given us a commandment to go and to tell people about Him. Because this woman, she heard. She heard. Somebody told her about Jesus. I want you to just bow your heads just for a minute, please. Serious question, man. Are you a spokesperson? Male, female, teenager of any age, are you a spokesperson for Jesus? Like, how many people around you that you know, they're broken, they're hurting, they're lost, they're in disarray, their family truly is a mess. The lives are falling apart. Have they heard? There is one His name is Jesus. Okay, when you really put yourself in this story, I'd love to have the courage to be the unnamed, never, ever even mentioned in Scripture. The one who actually told this woman about Jesus. There's no credit there. There's no name there. We have absolutely no idea who actually told this woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Somebody. The Bible says she heard it. That means somebody. The unknown person that we will never know this side of eternity. Somebody told her. It is my heart to be that person. Come on, church, it's my heart to be that one, that unnamed, unknown person that actually told somebody that there is one. And his name is Jesus. He can heal, he can deliver, he can come to a place to put the broken pieces back together. He can heal your work, your marriage, your children. He can bring them back to church. He can bring them back to Christ. He can bring them back to community. There's one. It's Jesus. I want to be the unknown, unnamed person that would tell that person there's Jesus. That you and I understand that Jesus, the biggest disease is sin of all time. The biggest eternal death-defying sin that nobody can get out of, the death is sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How about you and I as a church that we would come to a place to realize that it's on us to tell people there is one who can heal from sin. There is one who can deliver and has cleansed from all sin. Man, as I was going over this week and I was just reading it and reading it and studying and praying and reading it and studying and praying, the verse that came to me is, Sean, you are a living epistle known and read by all men. My heart was this, when people read me, what do they read? I mean, do they see a follower of Christ? Do they see me as one who understands the love of Jesus, expressing that love again and again and again? If I am that living epistle, if I am to be known and read by all men, what are they reading in my life? Am I credible to be able to actually tell the hurting and the broken and the lost about Jesus? And when I start telling them about Jesus, would they look at me like, what are you talking about? You're no different from us. You live no different from me. You're just like me. I didn't even know you went to church. Why are you talking about Jesus? Or maybe, honestly, please hear this, just maybe, you have lived in such a way that when they read you, they see a follower of Jesus. When they read you, they actually believe that you believe in Jesus. That Jesus has changed your life. They see that. They know that. They read that. And just maybe that they're at a point of being so broken, so hurting, that maybe they're just waiting for you to come tell them about your Jesus. Somebody told her. And she did in such belief on what someone said that she broke the law and she took a risk and she pressed on just to get to the hem of his garment. Just somebody told her something so significant that all she believed is, if I can just get there. What are people hearing from you about Jesus? Father, we just ask that we would be a people, followers, disciples of you. That we will not be afraid. God, I believe there are so many people that are so close to us, whether it's our own family, whether it's our workplace, whether it's a school setting, wherever it would be, the grocery store that sees us again and again. God, wherever it is that people would see you in us, that we would be different in such a way that there'll be a day, God, there'll be that opportunity to be that person, that unknown, unnamed person, to tell somebody about Jesus in such conviction that person acts on it. If I can just get to Jesus, I know that I can be saved. If I just get to Jesus, I know that I can be delivered. If I just get to Jesus, He can heal my broken pieces. Jesus can put me together. Why do I know that? Because someone told me. Church, will you be that person? When people read you, big idea, man, the big question, what do they see? Are there people all around you that know that you love Jesus, know that you believe, man, you're all in, you have surrendered, you understand the power and the authority of God. You understand that. And they see that. Are they waiting for you? Could you imagine you would really ask God to open my eyes to see those who are broken and hurting around me, that when I knock on the door, they'd actually say, I've been waiting for you. Would you please tell me about your Jesus? I'm so broken and I'm so hurting. Would you please tell me about your Jesus? And we have the absolute privilege to tell Him, this is what He has done for me. And this is what He will do for you. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He loves you as much as He loves me. I'm going to ask that I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you. And then in this place, that you would honestly even connect with God and say, God, I want that. I want to be the one, that unknown person. I'm going to pray that, God, that you would open our eyes to see the hurting and the broken, and that we would have the courage to go tell them about you in that perfect moment when we know it's you. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you, that you're that person. You're the one who says, I want to be the one. I want to be the one. Someone told her. And today's day, I want to be that person. 1, 2, 3. Put them up and hold them up high. Hold them up high. Say, I want to be that one. Someone may hear about Jesus from me. Father, I ask that you would discover this place today. God, that you would open our eyes. God, we'd be a people that pay attention to see those who are around us, whether it's family, just friendship, people we work with, people we go to school with, neighbors, people that we know from our community. God, wherever it is, that God, please, we're asking that we would be that one. We'd be the one, God, that our eyes are open to see their hurt, their need, their brokenness, and that, God, that we would look for that opportunity to go and tell them about Jesus, and tell them about your love, and tell them about your forgiveness, and tell them that you can heal, and God, that you would draw people to yourself, and that we would be the unknown, where they would be able to say one day, someone told me, I heard about Jesus. God, that we would be that people, please. That we would be that one. That someone might say one day, I was waiting for you to come. Would you please tell me about your Jesus? God, that you would move, please. God, that you would move. In Jesus' name, amen.